Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, November 14th. I'm Ray Graff. All right, it's here. Pie season is here. Now, our guest, Ellen Gray, might disagree, but to me, this time of year begins pie season. You got your pumpkin pie, your apple pie, pecan pie. So many pies, so little time. Now, Ellen may counter and say, silly man, every day is pie season, and she wouldn't be wrong. Ellen Gray is the owner and operator of a blog entitled No More Mr. Nice Pie. She is a pie artist. And really, did Da Vinci ever bake a pie? No. Too busy, too self-absorbed. Let's talk pie today. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You got a pie question? You can also email voxpop@wamc.org. Pie. I spell it P-I-E. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. This is the day. This is a day we welcome back Ellen Gray. It is wonderful to be in the presence of greatness. You know it when it happens, and it's happening now. Ellen is a food writer, recipe developer, educator, and professional pie whisperer. Her work has appeared in Better Homes and Gardens, Savor, Food 52, Munchies, and Jewish Food Society, with a reverence for culinary history and a slightly raised eyebrow toward contemporary food trends. Ellen chronicles her baking calendar on a hilarious blog called No More Mr. Nice Pie. Her favorite pie is whatever is in season. Let's talk pie today. 800-348-2551 if you want to quiz the master. 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Ellen Gray, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy.
Of course you are.
This is incredible. So, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm great. I brought a little smorgasbord for you of pie.
We're going to get to that in a minute, but it made me weep. And the line outside the studio of news employees.
It's getting a little rowdy out there.
It was impressive.
Let me just say.
Yeah. Everybody's in a sugar high right now over there in the newsroom.
I brought my own security, so we're okay.
Yeah. Well, it looks like he's in. Wow, that was fast. He had a slice or two himself. Good. The number here is 800-348-2551. I said at the outset, to me, this is the beginning of pie season, and I think you scowled. Is that true?
Well, for some of us, every day is pie season, Ray. But you caught me just at the hint of our pie Olympics.
What?
Or our Super Bowl of pie.
You have a Super Bowl of pie?
Thanksgiving.
Do tell.
Thanksgiving is the Super Bowl of pie.
Okay, so let's talk about what you brought. And first of all, I can name these, okay?
Okay, name that tune.
The pecan pie, which is tall. Usually you think about, you know, that old Mrs. Smith. She has the very thin pies that are in the freezer. Very good. This is a masterpiece. It's about 4.5-5 inches tall, and it's a deep dish pecan pie, and I've never had anything like it in my life.
Why, thank you.
Best pecan pie I've ever had.
I'm honored. This is our family favorite, which is actually named after my son. It's Drew's Wild Nut Pie.
And last year you came and you did one with mixed nuts.
Yes, but because you asked me at the very last moment.
Wait, you asked me, what do you like?
I was practically getting into the car to drive to Albany.
Oh my gosh.
And I learned that pecan pie, straight up pecan pie. And here you are.
You know, I did also say you don't have to bring anything but your sterling wit.
You did. I have that actually written as a text message somewhere. But regardless, this is one of my favorite pies also.
I love it.
There's brown butter in the crust, and there's brown butter in the filling. And it's not too sweet, right?
No, it's perfect.
Thank you.
And the consistency is perfect. It's not. Sometimes you get a pecan pie, and I like to say pecan, and you know the NPR listeners, they prefer pecan.
I understand, and I will not judge on
okay.
that.
But this here pecan pie is, you know, sometimes if you get store bought, it can be a little thick.
A little thick,
this
or
is light,
a little runny. Have you ever
no,
had that?
Oh no, I haven't had that. No.
Oh, sometimes the filling can be just a little bit syrupy.
This is meaty, but not too thick. It is. Okay. Now you brought pumpkin pie. which
I
is
did.
Also very light. It's not whipped, but it's light. It's not the dense sort of commercially made pumpkin pie. How do you do that?
I'll tell you how I do that. I actually use canned pumpkin in my pumpkin pies, and there's a lot of debate who has the best brand of canned pumpkin. I really don't align myself with one particular brand, although I will say in the New England environs, there is a brand that is very hard to track down.
Really?
Called One Pie Pumpkin.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
Exactly. That's why it's so hard to track down.
Of course, but I've never looked.
I'm fond of that. But I think regardless, if you use canned pumpkin in your pumpkin pie, if you cook the pumpkin and the spices and the sweetener just very briefly over the stove, it concentrates the flavor of the pumpkin and the spices, and it gets rid of any excess moisture, which we don't really want a wet pumpkin pie. We want something that's sliceable. And I think that makes a difference.
Now, does a pumpkin have an actual taste? I mean, I've never bitten into a pumpkin. The squirrels out in our yard after Halloween, they love them.
They love them before Halloween, actually.
But isn't the pumpkin spice this whole fad where everything, I want a pumpkin spice cheeseburger or whatever. It's not the pumpkin that makes that, right?
Well, if you were to slice into a farm-grown pumpkin, it will not taste like a latte. I'll say
okay,
that.
Okay, but does it have any taste?
It has muted taste.
Okay.
And I think one of the reasons that people turn to canned pumpkin is because it is processed. And when it's processed, it eliminates some of the liquid and it does kind of concentrate the flavor of the pumpkin. But what really enhances it are the spices that you add. It doesn't have to taste like a coffee drink. You can customize it. Some people loathe nutmeg. Some people love cinnamon and cardamom. You can add to it what you choose, which makes it, a really lovely blank canvas to start with.
Well, I love the balance. It has a traditional taste, but it's got that Ellen Gray zing to it. Is there anything special you put in that?
In this particular one?
Yeah.
I mean, something from the liquor cabinet, perhaps?
No, I don't. I just mean like a spice or something that isn't I'm not saying lithium or anything like that.
You can't run your e-bike on this.
Right.
But you will find that a really good quality vanilla helps.
Expensive stuff.
Very dear friends who are in the vanilla emporium out west. Vanillas of the world, actually.
Really?
And they are phenomenal. So I use
good
vanilla.
Imitation?
No. No, okay. Because that smells like and tastes like a candle.
Okay.
Excuse me. If you use freshly grated nutmeg, very sparingly, I think that's better than something out of the jar. You can actually grate your own cinnamon if you're really going, over
here.
The top. Go ahead, I'll
keep
wait.
Keep talking about the pumpkin.
But the pumpkin, I think, just shouldn't be overly sweetened, and it shouldn't be overly spiced. You have to use a gentle hand with these things.
You ever screw it up?
Sure, we all screwed up.
This is amazing. Oh, good heavens. Ellen Gray is our guest today, 800-348-2551. And then the other pie, the third pie, I was going to castigate you roundly for this because this does not seem like holiday Thanksgiving pie, even though you have festooned it with green and red and everything else. It's key lime pie, right?
It is a key lime pie. It is in a ginger snap crust, and then there's a cranberry curd that gets folded in. So you have just consumed, imagine, an enormous tryptophan-inducing meal.
Right.
And you're lying on the couch, or the lazy boy, I don't know.
Usually it's the floor for me,
okay.
But
whatever's closest.
Yeah.
And you're sort of in that post-Thanksgiving food coma.
Yeah.
And then you're summoned to the table for dessert. Or the second dessert, as it were. And there's really something lovely about having a slice of pie that is bright tasting and a little bit sassy and a little bit tart after a heavy meal. And I think this is a great combination, lime and cranberry. This was a recipe I put together for Sauveur, and it is just unusual. It's easy to make.
Beautiful.
And you can bring that to a party and feel pretty pleased that you'll be the only one bringing that pie.
It's fantastic. And again, you have never failed yet, but this is beautiful. And it also looks beautiful with the limes and the raspberries on the outside.
Pomegranate. Cranberry.
Which one's the pomegranate
These
now?
Are the pomegranates. These are the cranberries.
Oh, I thought they were shriveled.
I know. Well, it's a long drive.
Okay, fine. Let's take a break, and then we'll get to the phones and the emails. It's Ellen Gray Pies, 800-348-2551. We'll be back. Ah, yes, some secluded rendezvous here on Vox Pop. It's Ellen Gray. It's Pies Today. 800-348-2551 is our number. Barb King, our call screener, just came in and got some slices of pie for Zach, the engineer. Zach, you're going to be distracted in a moment because it's really good stuff. Mark in Albany writes, I'm a good home baker. I especially like making pies. My problem is with blind baking a crust. When I use pie weights, they stick to the crust. When I place a piece of parchment paper with another pie plate on top, the crust shrinks. Help! Exclamation point.
Okay, we can help. Are you freezing your pie shell before you blind bake it?
Well, it's an email.
Okay,
and I'll say,
so
no, I'm not doing that.
Okay, well, that could be a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to allow the dough to really chill in the pie plate before you line it and bake it. If you're having difficulty with lining it with parchment and beans, you could actually crumple up several pieces of parchment paper, and you could put a sheet in first and then put that crumpled parchment in, and that might stop slipping for you. And you have to give it enough time and a hot enough oven.
Okay. This is from Fred. Elderberry pie is a subject heading. I planted a couple of elderberry shrubs. Too late for this year, but can I make a pie from the fruit next year? I know elderberries are common in baking in Britain, but I have also heard that you need to prepare them specially because of some potential toxins, which I have that same problem when I make blowfish pie, by the way. It's the same thing. All right, so what do you think about the elderberry, Ellen Gray?
I am not an elderberry nor a blowfish pie
really?
Expert.
Okay.
I know, surprisingly so. But you can use elderberry, and yes, you have to prepare the filling. I've only seen it prepared stovetop and then baked. I don't know if that removes some of the questionable properties of elderberries.
What do they look like? I've never seen an elderberry.
Well, it's not something that you would grow in your backyard in upstate New York.
Apparently Fred is going to do that.
Okay, Fred. They have an astringency to them. They're like a little bit, I don't want to say medicinal because that sounds harsh, but they are, they can be a little unpleasantly tart, and they call for a lot of sweetener, and that's why I tend to not get involved with them.
On a related note, do you remember that Elton John song, Elderberry Wine,
of
from
course.
His 1972 album, Don't Shoot Me, I'm Only the Piano Player?
We were just talking...
Really, about that song?
The 80s, actually.
Well, this was 70s.
Yeah.
This was early 70s.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a call. Diane in Altamont, you're on with Ellen Gray.
Thank you very much. And Ray, you are correct. Ellen is a master.
She is great.
And I just have a big thank you, Ellen, for you. I emailed you and you sent me a tip for preparing my cherry pie filling ahead of time.
That's right.
And putting it in a lined metal pie pan and freezing it and then baking it. It was gorgeous. First of all, it's the most beautiful pie I've ever made. And it was delicious. And so thank you. That was brilliant.
Oh, I'm so pleased. You made my day. This is really great news.
Well, good.
I remember.
Yeah, and I used half sour. I ended up not being able to have fresh cherries. So I did half sour and half sweet that were frozen. And it was just absolutely delicious. So thank you so much. That goes in my recipe book. And I have shared it with everybody who's a pie baker. So thank you.
I'm so thrilled. This was for a birthday, wasn't it? Was it for a birthday?
It was for my nephew's 60th birthday, who flew in from Washington State and requested cherry pie instead of a cake. Yes.
Okay.
Amazing.
All right. Well,
Diane,
very sweet to call. Thanks, Diane.
You know, how did you remember that? How did you remember that?
Cherry
I can't even
pie.
Remember yesterday's show.
Sure you can.
Really? No, I think you're wrong. Ellen Gray's our guest, 800-348-2551. Pies today on Food Friday. And feel free, 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. All right, this one's from D in Altamont, New York. Subject heading, one-to-one flour. Is it possible to successfully make a pie using King Arthur one-to-one flour? I need to make a gluten-free crust. Yes.
This is for D?
D in Altamont.
Hi, D.
Yeah.
D, you are not alone. I'm sure there are many, many people who have the same situation. Yeah, the cup for cup or the one-to-one gluten-free flour, you can use it. I will say that it's a little bit more challenging to fit a gluten-free pie dough into a pie plate. It's a little bit sticky, a little unforgiving. I think you'll have better luck if you try patting or rolling the dough on a sheet of parchment paper.
Okay.
And then you can actually flip that over right above your pie plate and then peel off the parchment paper and the dough will be in the pie shell.
Now, believe it or not, I've never baked a pie.
I'm shocked.
I know, right? But if you're not putting it in the oven, you could use wax paper in that case, right?
Well, I think parchment is better. I think it's sturdier. I think wax paper, in days of yore, you would use wax paper. But parchment paper is very easily available these days. I would go for that. And you can reuse parchment paper. I'm a big fan of that.
Oh, come on.
Yes, you can.
What are you going to do with it?
You're going to use it again the next time you bake something.
Mark, does she do that? She does that. Okay.
Yeah, I save rubber bands, too, but that's
a
separate show.
All right, we'll see if we have some before you leave as a parting gift. 800-348-2551 if you have a pie question for Ellen Gray, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. Ken writes in, who, by the way, is a proud supporter of public broadcasting. And, Ken, thank you much. Pie crust. If you're making a chicken pot pie or a dessert pie, do you modify the crust?
Not really, unless I modify the flour. If I want to use a heartier flour, I might use a whole wheat, or I might use something that has a little bit more texture to it. But I still add a little bit of sugar and salt to a pie crust, whether it's sweet or it's savory.
Yeah.
And some people would raise an eyebrow. But you want the sugar in there to help with the browning of the crust in the oven, because that's actually that sugar is caramelizing a little bit, and that's what gives you that nice golden pie crust.
Who would ever raise an eyebrow at any of your pie ideas?
You'd be amazed.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there any pie baker that intimidates you, that knows more than you?
Honest. Everybody knows.
You're wrong.
More.
You're wrong.
There's always something new to learn, but I think that the what really inspires me is to see when people who are very intimidated with baking a pie successfully bake a pie. That to me is just enormously gratifying. And it's a labor of love to bake pie. It is a difficult task.
You know, I said I never baked a pie and I lied.
You baked a galette. All right, we're not going to talk about that.
I also baked, on at least two occasions over my 900-year life, Ritz mock apple pie.
Classic.
It's awesome. You ever make that?
I made that for a science class once in elementary school.
Really?
Yeah, back of the box.
Did anyone die? Or I like that.
I don't know.
I like
you lose touch with people after sixth grade.
Christine in Waterville Eat writes in, and there are two questions here.
Okay.
One, any suggestions for a savory recipe for a pie without a crust? And then the second question, is pie a pie without a crust?
Wait, what's the first question?
Any suggestions for a savory recipe for a pie without a crust?
Oh, yeah.
And then the secondary question, is a pie without a crust?
Yes. Okay, so let's start with the second question
because
that's fresher in my
mind. All right, fine. I'll keep this on handy just in case you forget.
If you comb through early cookbooks, if you really go way, way back to like 1796, the first cookbook that was published by an American author.
Ben Franklin, right?
Not Ben Franklin.
No.
It was called American Cookery.
Ah.
And it was published in 1796 by a woman named Amelia Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
And she has pretty rudimentary recipes in there. And if you look at early pumpkin pie recipes, even predating Amelia.
Yeah.
Pies were baked. Bakers would hollow out a pumpkin and fill it with a custard and then put it over a fire. And so you can absolutely say
a
that a pie. Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Because it's a.
You can't eat the pie. You can't eat the pumpkin.
Sure, you can
You're
eat the pumpkin.
You're not a squirrel. You're not a raccoon.
Not the exterior of the pumpkin, the interior.
Right.
And then there, so you've got
That's a bowl
baked,
of...
roasted pumpkin.
All right.
You can feed your squirrels with a custard filling. But yes, a pie doesn't have to have a bottom crust. It could have a top crust, which circles us back to the first question, that you could have a vegetable pot pie type of a filling, and then you could dollop the top of that, quote, air quote, pie with mashed potatoes or sweet potatoes. Lots of things you could do. Pureed spinach, all kinds of things.
Are you a savory pie person in general?
Not in general, but I skew savory when, you know, we need something for dinner.
Okay. All right. Well, so we will say that Ellen Gray says a pie can be a pie without a crust. I would disagree, but I'm just the host. Lee writes, any recommendations for gluten-free pies or pie crusts?
Yes. Gluten-free pie crust is available in your grocer's freezer. There are some that are pretty okay. And you can certainly, there are plenty of recipes for a gluten-free pie crust, but I think the easiest thing to do is make a selection from the gluten-free cookie aisle.
Ah, smart.
And utilize that in the same way you would a crumb crust, a graham cracker crust. And that's what people should embrace. If you're cautious or hesitant to make pie crust, and that sort of puts the kibosh on all the pie making in your life, there are other things you can use for a pie crust. I mean, cookies are wonderful. You can use, you know, a baked single layer of a cake and line a pie plate with that.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things you can do.
Ritz crackers, right?
Well, that's a separate. That's more of a fruit, wouldn't you say?
Well, when you make the mock apple pie, it does taste like apple.
Yes.
It's incredible.
It's amazing.
A little sweet, but good. Let's go to the phones again. 800-348-2551. Pies today with the great Ellen Gray. Laura's in Ravenna. Laura, you're on.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I started making vegan pies for my husband. And have been very frustrated because the crust keeps coming out kind of cardboardy. But for the first time, I refrigerated the ball for the crust overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was flaky for the first time.
Great.
Do you have any other suggestions for vegan pies?
Well, what is the issue? Is it the butter? Is it the egg? What is the item you're trying to eliminate in this crust?
Well, I've been using vegan butter.
Okay.
And flour.
Okay. I would suggest that you weigh the flour rather than do a scoop and measure, because sometimes you can over measure the flour, and that can make it kind of dry. I think refrigerating the crust is a great idea, the dough before you roll it out. And I would also not be afraid to not have a bottom crust on a pie and put your filling in a pie plate or a casserole dish and then do a different kind of a topping, and then you don't have to worry.
And Laura, we will have several vegan and vegetarian shows coming up in 26, so I encourage you to call in at that time. Thanks very much. 800-348-2551 is our number. Ellen Gray is our guest. It's pies today. Okay, so you trotted out the lime pie for Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Cranberry lime, right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, to me, it seemed wrong, but it tastes so right. Okay.
That could be a song.
If loving lime pie is wrong, I don't want to be right. Exactly.
Bingo.
So is there any pie in Ellen Gray's world that is a no-go at the holidays?
Ooh, no. Because
really?
I don't discriminate. I mean, I think you want, there are all manner of flavors of communities that bake for the holidays. And I think it's wonderful to bring what's important to you.
You ever tried out a banana cream pie at Thanksgiving?
Absolutely. But you know, I'm in favor of eating pie all week.
Right.
Of Thanksgiving, because you can never have enough pie.
Right.
So if you are ahead of the game and you've done your prep work in tandem with the calendar, that you've got pie shells in the freezer or crumb crusts ready, you can do any manner of filling, and you can eat them throughout the week, so you don't have to sit and, you know, eat everything all at once.
How many pieces of pie, even if they're small, will you eat a day?
A day?
10, 12, 15, 20?
Oh, I don't know.
No?
I'm going to have to get out my abacus and count.
All right. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Ellen Gray. It's a Food Friday, and it's pies today. And, you know, it just occurred to me, we've talked about gluten-free pies.
We have.
We've talked about vegan pie crust.
That too.
What about pies that are slightly less sugary for maybe the diabetics among us who don't want to go into a coma at Thanksgiving?
That's tricky. There are far more sugar substitutes now than once were.
But are they good to bake with?
Yes. But you have to be careful with measurements, and you don't want to use too much because they are innately, there's a sort of a back taste to them that you get. So I think you've got to tread lightly when you use them. I think if you are using fresh fruit in your filling, then you can certainly utilize what's available. Things in the fruit aisle are available year-round now.
I mean, you've been making pies 10, 15 years now, right? You remember saccharin? You remember cyclamates?
I do,
and
those little
stuff?
The little cases with the little tablets. And I remember all of that.
Do you ever make
stuff.
Pies with that?
Never, ever. But what I'm saying is, if you were to use, as we used lime juice or lemon juice or orange juice or passion fruit puree, there are things that are naturally sweet that would make wonderful fillings, and you don't have to necessarily rely on substitutes of sugar.
All right, Ellen Gray is here, and we're talking pies. We'll take a break, and then I have a very piercing question about apple pie that I want to ask her, and I think I'm going to throw her off. 800-348-2551. This is Full Mike Wallace coming in a moment. Fox Pop on WAMC. Yes, the pie cutting. All right, you cut yourself? The pie cutting is going on. Little inside baseball here. Ellen Gray, our guest, comes from New Jersey, and she pays her driver in slices of pie. And so he just had another slice. Good for you. And he's also got a bandage on, which means she was cutting pie around you earlier. The number is 800-348-2551. The email is voxpop@wamc.org. And we'll go a couple of emails here. Michelle in Ware, Massachusetts writes, the fruits of the black elder contain sambunigrin, cyanogenic glycoside. Yeah, thanks for this, Michelle. In the body, it can release hydrogen cyanide, which can cause symptoms like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, even in small amounts. Okay. Children are particularly sensitive, so snacking directly from the bush is definitely not
Bad
a good
news.
Idea. Okay. Fortunately, sambonigrin is heat sensitive.
Yeah.
Prolonged heating above 80 Celsius breaks down the toxin. Okay. Cooked elderberries are therefore not toxic and can be enjoyed without worry.
Thank you. And that brought up the kids' table. So you certainly don't want any of the members of the family at the kids' table eating elderberries off the from the great outdoors.
No,
correct?
It's true. And it does. I don't have an elderberry bush, but
no, nor do I.
But the kids go out to the garage anyway. That's where the table is in my house, and that's where they'll be soon enough.
Uh-huh.
By the way, the apple pie question.
Ask away.
Years ago, Deanna Fox was on, and we were talking about pies.
Great pie baker. She's an award-winning apple pie baker.
Listen, okay. I wouldn't know. She doesn't get in contact. I'm trying to get her on the show for next year. She doesn't write.
Busy.
So anyway, I believe that she is the one who said, I like mixing up the apples in my pie.
Absolutely.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, you can have a one-note apple pie. I would say Granny Smith apples are a fine one-note.
They're
one
pretty
note.
Tart, right?
They're tart, which means you get to control how much sugar, how much sweetener. They are wonderful for baking over a long period of time in the oven because they don't break down into applesauce or into mush.
Yeah.
But they are very distinctive. And so the flavor of an all Granny Smith pie, you would recognize that compared to an apple pie that is a blend of apples.
All right.
And there are wonderful apple varieties, maybe not necessarily found at the supermarket, but at local farms.
Okay.
And farmers markets. And when you mix the apples, sort of like an orchestra of instruments of appleness, and it really has a depth of flavor that's different than just using all
interesting
Cortland or all Macoun. I also would recommend, if you're making apple pie for Thanksgiving, and many people are, it pays to reduce some apple, good quality apple cider, and add a few shots of that to your pie.
So that's also a great way to not have so much added sugar, even though there's plenty of sugar
correct
in that.
But if you get a good quality apple cider from a local cider press, it should be just apples.
What about pear pie? I love
pear pie.
But do you have different varieties of pears in that, or does it not matter?
You want them to be ripe enough that you can slice your knife through them and not lop off your finger. Pears are like avocados. They're unripe, and then they're
overripe. Yeah, interesting. Our guest today is Ellen Gray. Let's go back to our phone lines. I'll hit the email back. Oh, one more email for now, and then we'll go back later. Elizabeth writes, can I make key lime pie without a crust? Or did we talk about that?
The tricky part about a custard pie without a crust is that you have to be able to get it out of the dish, right? So you do need some kind of crumb.
Thought.
Yeah.
Hollow out a lime and put it inside.
You
lime,
could do
right?
that. It's been done, I'm sure, at very upscale restaurants.
All right. Let's go back to our phone lines. I'm always trying to help Ellen Gray move into the next realm. 800-348-2551 is the number. Patricia's in Leverett, Massachusetts. Hello.
Hello. I've been enjoying your show. I'm a long-term baker, and I actually won our apple pie pie baking contest last year in town. So
congratulations.
Thank you. I was surprised.
That's exciting.
I wanted to comment on the issue with diabetes and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter is a type 1 diabetic, and, you know, this might be different for type 2. But the issue really is overall carb count.
Yeah.
So the crust itself counts as well. Fruits obviously tend to have less carbs than do the crust, except a banana probably would have a lot. And today, type 1 diabetics use T-Slim pumps and glucose monitors. So, you know, it's just important to have that carb count if you're cooking for diabetics.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Thank you, Patricia.
Well, thank you. I'm loving your show.
Thanks. I'm loving that you called. 800-348-2551. If you have a question for the pie whisperer, Ellen Gray, let's go to Niskayuna. Jean, you're on.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I don't know why I'm having trouble hearing you. Hold on a minute.
Hello, Jean. Can you hear me now? Hello. Hello.
There. That's better.
All right.
Oh, the mellifluous tones of Ray Grass.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to ask about crust dust, if Ellen is familiar with that. It's a 50-50 mixture of sugar and flour, and you put it underneath the crust?
Yeah. Some bakers adhere to that and are very happy. You're putting it in the bottom of the crust.
Right.
So it's
Before you actually put the crust in, isn't it? Doesn't it go in the bottom of the...
Well... oftentimes, people will put it in a lined pie shell. They'll line the and then that's sort of a barrier to prevent having all of the liquid from the filling give you the soggy bottom crust. If you're going to line the bottom and you've got sugar directly on the very bottom of your pie plate, that's going to hit the heat first, and that might get a little bit on the dark side.
Mm.
But I am familiar with that, and I tend not to use it. Some bakers also will use ground cookies in the bottom or ground nuts very, very finely and put like a little dusting of that. So you can certainly try it. Are you having difficulty with the bottom crust?
Well, it depends. When I make a quiche, for instance, I find that and I don't use one of the small quiche pans. I have like an earthenware 2-inch fluted kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's oftentimes the bottom isn't crisp, put it that way. It can get soggy.
Do you pre-bake that crust before you put your filling in? For a quiche, you would.
No, I don't.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, so in the new year, which starts now, the new pie year, absolutely have to pre-bake that crust because you're just pouring a custard into a raw shell. And in an earthenware pie plate in particular, which holds the heat very well, you know, for a long time once you take the pie out of the oven, but going into the oven, it takes a while for the heat to actually permeate that pie plate. If you use a metal pie plate...
Is it better to put it like on a pizza stone?
Pizza stones are great. A metal pie plate actually will capture the heat straight off the bat. You have to be careful with the earthenware if you're coming out of the freezer with an unbaked pie shell. If you're going to put earthenware from a freezer into an oven with a pizza stone, that's probably not a great idea.
All right, Jean, you want to follow up?
I see. Yeah, I have another question slash comment.
Okay, dope.
I only bake pies around the holidays because I'm just one person, and it's only when people are here that I'll make pies, and it's always pecan and pumpkin.
Okay.
And what I've done over the years is something that my mother started to do with the pumpkin pies is that I beat the egg whites with part of the recipe of sugar ahead of time. So it's more like a pumpkin chiffon. It's not really thick, but
delicious.
It's lighter.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And I do the same thing with my cheesecake.
Mm-hmm. I think that's...
And a lot of people say, I've never had a cheesecake that's been this light before.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Great. It's a great idea.
So that's the only thing I change about the recipe is to add that. Now, I don't know if that's because my mother was baking in the 40s and 50s.
Well, if you look at early cookbooks, you'll see that quite often the pies are lightened with a whipped meringue and folded in. Also, I would suggest, Jean, you should bake pie more than twice a year or once a year. Go out and buy a little 7-inch pie plate, and you can make half a recipe, and it'll fit the 7-inch pie plate, and you can have pie all the time.
Jean, I knew she was going to do that.
Well, my brother just gave me 3 gallons of frozen blueberries from his bushes.
Okay,
so maybe
no
I will.
Excuse.
Hey, Jean, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Spencertown. Andreas, you're on.
Yeah, listen, Mara. Andreas is not here right now, but he is biking.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful. So do you want to say anything or?
He's doing. So I was listening to the radio, and I heard that you are the pie expert.
Uh-huh.
And so I think he needs a little bit of help, yeah?
Oh, dear. Okay. All right. This is a...
Okay. We missed most of the important part, but the subject heading here says apple crisp. Is that a pie? Is that your question?
The apple crisp, is that a pie or not? Because maybe I should call the apple crisp people if this is the pie line, yeah?
Okay, it's a crisp, but thanks for calling.
Yeah, great call. Thanks a lot. 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to Paul and Troy. Paul, you're on.
Good afternoon. Years ago, I worked in a restaurant in Florida on Longboat Key off Sarasota. And one of the desserts we served was key lime pie.
Mm-hmm.
It was extraordinary, the best key lime pie, I think, perhaps in the world, the genuine article with real key limes.
Yeah.
The other point I wanted to make is, I don't know if your guest has ever heard of a dessert from Italy called panforte.
Yes.
It's not exactly a pie or a cake.
It's more of a confection.
The only way to describe it is sort of a compressed fruitcake, but not to denigrate fruitcake, which I love, but it was a sweet, wonderful treat that looked like a pie.
Yeah, it's delicious, and I'm familiar with it. And I will also tell you that at one time I worked for a restaurant, and the executive chef had me squeeze cases of key limes for our key lime pie, and it was wonderful, but very tedious. So I'm sympathetic to that plight for all the bakers.
Paul, thank you for that one. Marjorie in Saugerties writes in, "So my mouth is watering, and I want to share one of my favorite pies, lime sour cream pie and graham cracker crust. Recipe is below. Your cardiologist will love you for this. I'm required to bring this, especially Thanksgiving." Now, this is, check out, you can't see it at home, but Ellen, look at this old recipe. That is a well-loved recipe.
Well-beloved.
Yeah, that is great. Thank you for that, Marjorie. Appreciate it. This is from Thomas in Tom and Half Moon. Says, "Can you tell me where to get the best cherry pie in the capital region?" I don't think she could tell you that. I don't think we'd be allowed to anyway.
No, but I'm going to tell you some sad news that the cherry crop, the season, was hard hit recently. And so the price of frozen cherries is going to go sky high, and they're going to be a little bit elusive to find. So I would just get those cherry pies made and tucked away while you can.
Mandy writes in, "Great show as always. Thank you, Mandy. Any suggestions on where to find a recipe for a vegetarian pie crust? Our recipes or pre-made ones include lard."
Yeah, I think any of the great sites available online, King Arthur, Serious Eats, All Recipes, Better Homes and Gardens, everybody has them. And I would just, you have to give yourself a little grace period to make these recipes once before you're going to set them down for Thanksgiving, okay? So if it's a brand new recipe that you're getting offline, you have to practice it and just make sure that everything's according to Hoyle.
Ellen Gray is our guest today. Now, listen, we only have about 4 or 5 minutes here, so let's try to do a lightning round on these calls. We'll go to Ellenville and Anita. Anita, you're on.
Hi. So I make a really good apple pie, but the only way that I can really make the crust is to roll it out between two pieces of parchment paper or aluminum foil and then peel it back.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And then, but I always wonder about these pictures that I see of how in the old days they would, you know, like my grandmother, they would roll it out and then they would be getting half of it up on top of the rolling pin and manipulating it. And mine would just completely tear if I did that. And I tried the thing about you add more flour, and that just seems to make it too tough.
If you send me your email information, I'll send you a tutorial. You can absolutely do this without two sheets of parchment paper.
All right, so how do you get in touch with the great Ellen Gray?
You can just write to the website, nomoremrnicepie.com.
And then there's a link.
And there's a link there, and I'd be happy to send you all that information.
All right, well, thank you, Anita. Let's go now to Rensselaerville, and it's Mame's turn. Hi, Mame, you're on.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Ellen.
Oh,
how are you?
Name. So nice to hear from you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
So I have a question. I love a plum pie.
Yeah.
And make towards the end of summer.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking of making one for dessert for dinner with guests recently.
Okay.
And I couldn't find fresh plums. They're a little hard to find sometimes. And I wondered, how do you think frozen plums would do in a plum pie?
Well, I think you can use them. I just think that the water content is going to be a little bit tricky. So if you can find some fresh plums, they are in the supermarkets. They're traveling great distances, I'm sure, to get to your local supermarket. But you can find some. And I would be more apt to recommend that you use a portion of the frozen with some fresh ones, or perhaps a different fruit with it as well. Mix up plum. Plum and cherry is really nice together. You know, there are lots of things that are frozen that are a little bit more seaworthy than just the frozen plums, I think.
All right, Mame. Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. You know, I've never seen a frozen plum in a store.
Yeah. They're not something that you would find
I'm not looking for it, but all right, let's go to Debbie in Schenectady. Debbie, you have about a minute here. Go ahead.
I've got a minute. I finally found Cavala Blanc Hiver apples, or Cavala Blanc the Hiver, if you don't speak French.
Yeah, I hear you.
Which are chef very wanted apples.
Yes.
Do I need a pâté frisé crust, which is fufu, a regular crust, and should I bake it on an air bake pan or an aluminum bake sheet?
Okay.
Or like a galette or a tart?
So you really want to showcase these apples, so you don't need to do too much to them. I would highly recommend that, regardless of the crust that you make, splurge for the slightly expensive, more expensive butter. And just don't add too much to anything. And I would bake it on, if you have a pizza stone or a metal pan that you can use, that'll conduct the heat better and give you a better bottom crust for your tart.
Okay, so put it directly on the stone or put the pan on the stone?
I would put the pan in the oven to heat up. I would then put a sheet of parchment. When you're ready to bake, I would put a sheet of parchment paper on top of that pizza stone, and then you can put your tart pan right on top of that. Because if it leaks a little bit, then you'll catch it.
Debbie, thank you. We'll have to leave it there. Ellen Gray, this was one of your finest baking performances of many that you have done. You're already booked for 2026, so the bar is pretty high. How do people, once again, find you on the internet?
NoMoreMrNicePie.com. Also, quick PSA.
Oh, yeah.
As we get into the holiday season, be super, super kind towards the people that you visit in bakeries, because it is their Olympics. They're exhausted. They're on their feet all day. Be generous with them and be patient.
Thank you so much for being here, Ellen Gray. Support comes from Clock Estate, Hudson, New York, an earth-to-glass brandy distillery and destination that features tours, tastings, fine dining, and a hilltop view of the Northern Catskill Range, clock-estate.com. Bodywork Professionals, licensed massage therapist, Albany, Saratoga Springs, Niskayuna, Nick Pavaldi, structural integration practitioner, Rolfer proprietor, 518-MASSAGE, or bodyworkprofessionals.com. Sapbush Hollow Farm to Table Cafe in Schoharie County, 50 minutes from Albany with EV charging, open Saturdays 9 to 2 through November, sapbushfarmstore.com/cafe. And the Cheese Traveler Albany, a purveyor, they're still slicing pies. The Cheese Traveler Albany, a purveyor of handcrafted domestic and imported cheeses, charcuterie, pantry items, grilled cheese, curated from farms, dairies, and producers locally and around the globe, thecheesetraveler.com. Well, thanks again to Ellen Gray for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, Bob King, and Barb King screened the calls. They both did. I'm Ray Graff, and you know, it's clear that I'm pretty tired. So I'll see you Monday.